Welcome to our Saturday evening Bhagavad Gita class. Since we are on the third chapter, we will begin by chanting all the verses together.
Krishna.
So in this concluding section of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga, in text 36 to text 43, Lord Krishna, in response to Arjuna's question, is discussing a most important subject. What was Arjuna's question? In the previous parts, in some questions and some answers earlier, Lord Krishna has explained to Arjuna the need to avoid attachment to the objects of the senses and neither to be averse to them. One must try to be equipoised in the midst of all the sense objects and follow a life of discipline and sense control. The question naturally arose in Arjuna's mind that, well, very often we try to control our mind and senses. We make a resolve to follow so many rules and regulations. But in spite of making a firm resolve in this way, we are unable to keep that resolve. And very soon we give up that resolve and make that same mistake again. It is a common question. It is a common experience for all of us. So Arjuna is wondering why, when we are all meant to surrender to Krishna, we are all meant to avoid sinful activity, still we commit sin. So therefore Arjuna's question, Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah. Why is it that one is forced to perform sinful activities, balad even yojitaha, as if by force, anichchan, even though one does not want to, but one is forced to commit activities that are not good for us, that we are not desirous of performing, but there is some kind of force that impels us to perform these activities. So this very important question is very, very relevant for all of us. As we discussed last time, to recapitulate briefly, many people may ask the question that since not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of God, then whatever so-called wrong activities I may be doing, that must also be performed by God. So why should I be responsible for the wrong activities that I do? God is responsible. But we understand from these explanations that Lord Krishna is going to give that God is not responsible for the wrongs that we do. We are responsible. There is another force within us that impels us, that drives us to commit certain sinful activities. And what is that force? Lord Krishna explains clearly here. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samudbhavah, mahashano mahapapma vidhenam iha vairinam. He explains, it is lust only, O Arjuna, which is born out of the material mode of passion and which is transformed into anger or wrath, that is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So in one word, Lord Krishna's answer to Arjuna's question is lust, kama. And what is this kama? We discussed last time. Any desire to engage the senses with the sense objects is called kama. The eye desires to see something nice, the ear desires to hear something melodious, the tongue desires to taste something tasty, and so on. So the senses are always desirous of gratification. They always want satisfaction. The senses are always looking out in the world outside for any kind of object that may satisfy it. So these desires for the senses to enjoy themselves, technically called sense gratification in the language that Srila Prabhupada uses, is called kama. And when this kama is unfulfilled, then it turns into anger or wrath. Therefore, it is very important to understand the nature of this kama, because it is all pervasive. All pervasive means that it is not that only one particular person is affected by this lust or the desire to enjoy this world in so many different ways. It happens to every single living entity. One time, one devotee, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, approached him in confidence and said, "Dear Srila Prabhupada, I am practicing all these spiritual things that you have mentioned. I am chanting, I am attending morning program, I am reading Shastra, I am doing everything that you have said. But my mind is troubled by lust. So this is my problem. So please advise me what to do about my problem." So Srila Prabhupada said, "This is your problem? It is a problem of every living entity in this world, in this whole universe. It is not just your problem. The desire to enjoy separately from the Lord is kama. And that is the basic reason why we are all here in this material world, in forgetfulness of God." So Srila Prabhupada explained, it is everybody's problem. And therefore it is this lust and lust alone that is the cause of the soul staying on here in this material world in the cycle of birth and death. And therefore in this word, in this verse, Lord Krishna has referred to the lust as vairinam. Maha ashanaha vairinam. Vairina means enemy. Maha ashana means all devouring. Literally, maha ashana means one whose belly is never filled up. You can go on eating, but the belly is never filled. So lust is like that. Always unfulfilled. We will see more of that when Lord Krishna explains the nature of this kama or lust further on. We saw last time that it is impossible for any living entity to satisfy his or her lust completely. Impossible. We do not have the capacity to satisfy all the desires to enjoy this world that we may have. Even if all the wealth, all the grains, all the houses, animals, enjoyments of this world were available to any one man, it would not be enough to satisfy all his desires for enjoyment in this world. So inherently we are incapable of fully satisfying our desires by trying to enjoy this world. It is not possible. Therefore, this enemy is not an ordinary enemy. Very powerful enemy. We saw last time that this enemy cannot be controlled by the other forms of controlling enemies that are given in Rajniti or in the science of politics and diplomacy, like Sam, Dam, Bhed, etc. Like speaking sweet words to the enemy and pacifying him, or giving some bribes or gifts to the enemy and pacifying him, or trying to create a division among the enemy and thus making them weak. No, only danda, punishment by atma-jnana. When one develops atma-jnana, only then is it possible to conquer this enemy of lust. So Lord Krishna has explained very nicely to Arjuna that the driving force for lust, for sinful activity, is lust. And what is this lust? It is nothing but transformed love. In the spiritual world, every living being, this jivatma, has pure love for the Lord. But when that pure love is transformed by contact with material nature, it becomes lust. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that when milk comes in contact with sour tamarind or lemon, then it becomes curd. Similarly, the consciousness of the soul is originally very pure, sublime, blissful in the spiritual world. But when it comes in contact with the three modes of material nature, with this material world here, then it becomes covered by impurity. And at that time, it becomes so-called lusty. Means it wants to enjoy the objects of this world, to eat good food, to see good things, to hear good things, and so on and so forth. Now, actually speaking, the jiva, being part and parcel of God, has some minute independence, because the Lord is supremely independent. And the Atma is a particle of God. So therefore the Atma also has some independence. When the Atma misuses that independence, and the original propensity of the Atma to serve the Lord, that is a serving propensity, seva bhava, when that changes into enjoying propensity, bhog vritti, then one becomes a victim of kama or lust. So kama is nothing but a product of the desire to enjoy. But when we want to surrender to Krishna, to give Him enjoyment, when we wish to be enjoyed by Him, without having any desire to enjoy ourselves, in that way we get real enjoyment. Real enjoyment comes when we try to give enjoyment to Krishna without seeking enjoyment for ourselves. Then we enjoy. But if we try to enjoy independently of the Lord, then we suffer. Krishna is enjoying anyway. He enjoys whether we are enjoying or not. He is Atmaram, always happy and blissful. So therefore it is the duty of every living entity to think that this world is not going to satisfy. We have been trying to enjoy our senses for many millions and millions of lifetimes, but unsuccessfully. When the jiva becomes baffled in his attempts to enjoy this world after many lifetimes, then he may come to the point of inquiry. Athāta brahma jignyāsa. Why am I always unhappy? Why am I not able to find satisfaction in this world? Why is there always suffering in this world? At this time, real human life begins. Actually, everything is coming from God. Janmādhyasthita anvayāt itaratascha chārtheshu abhigyah swarāt. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is explained, Janma adi yasya ataha. Everything is originating from the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Therefore, even lust must originate from Him. Anger must originate from Him. Everything is there in Him in its pure form. What this means, therefore, is that when lust and anger are purified by using in the service of Krishna, then those things are all right. When we start serving Lord Krishna with faith and devotion, then that lust in our heart, that desire to enjoy the world, is transformed into pure love. Similarly, when anger is used in the service of the Lord, it is uplifting. Normally, anger is in tamogun, lust is in rajagun. We have seen that earlier. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samudbhavaha. People in this world are always trying to increase the passion. Everywhere around the temptations, the distractions are all inviting us to come and enjoy. The advertisements, the shops, the hotels, everything around us. But the more passion increases, the more dangerous it becomes. Because, as we discussed, it is not possible to fulfill all our passions. And when the passions are unfulfilled, there will be anger, krodha. And when anger comes, gradually everything will be destroyed. So therefore, instead of increasing the passion and falling down into tamoguna, one should try to live a pure life and come to the higher mode of sattvaguna, and from there to the spiritual platform, shuddha sattvaguna. When anger arises, if it is used properly in the service of Lord Krishna, then that is bona fide. For example, Hanuman, he used his anger in the service of Lord Ram by burning Lanka. That was the perfection of Hanuman's anger. Similarly, Lord Krishna is now urging Arjuna to use his anger against the Kauravas for his pleasure, that is for Krishna's pleasure. That would be Arjuna's perfection when he tends to use his anger for Krishna's service. So all these things can be used for the service of the Lord, and then these actually become purifying for the soul. Now, having explained lust or kama as the principal enemy, Lord Krishna is going to further, in text number 38, describe in what way this lust is covering the Atma. This is a very, very interesting verse, and we will discuss it in some detail. And at the end of this class, I will give you a chart. We have prepared a chart. And you please take that chart home and you study it carefully. Very systematically it analyzes the different stages of how kama covers the Atma in this world, according to the different species. So let us come to text 38.
Dhume navriyate vahane यथादर्शो मलेन च यथोल्बेनावृतो गर्भः तथा तेनेदमावृतम्.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. Kindly repeat the translation after me. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. We have seen a while ago that the Atma is originally pure spiritual Satchidananda. It has nothing to do with this kama or with this material world or with this sattva-gun, rajagun, tamagun. It belongs to the spiritual realm. However, having come in contact with the material world, then it becomes covered by lust. So lust is a covering that hides the true nature or the true position of the Atma. It is a covering that covers the true knowledge of the soul, the Atma Jnana, the Bhagavad Jnana of the Atma. And in different situations, this lust is of a different quality according to the three modes of nature. You are all aware there is Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun. Different living entities are covered by these three modes in different combinations and different degrees. So when someone is covered by Sattvagun, that means his lust is of a certain quality. When some living entity is in Rajagun, his lust is of that quality. When someone is in Tamagun, his lust is of that quality. And there are so many intermediate positions of mixes, Sattva, Raja, Raja, Tama, and mixture of all three in various proportions. Innumerable, countless combinations and permutations of these things are possible. And according to that, the quality of lust that covers the living entity will be determined. This covering of lust is simply a covering of forgetfulness, that's all. It makes the jiva forget itself. It makes the jiva forget God. It makes the jiva forget reality. It puts the jiva under illusion. The jiva starts living in a dream world. The original nature of the jiva is covered. It is hidden. Sometimes there may be a bulb which may be covered by some glazed paper. Say you have red color glazed paper that covers this bulb. In another one you may cover by green paper. Another one by yellow paper. So the bulb is the same in all. It may be a 40 watt bulb in all. But the covering is different. So to our eyes it appears different. Although the underlying bulb is the same. Now the same papers, if it becomes thicker and thicker, we will see that the intensity of the light also diminishes. Not only does the color vary depending on the color of the paper, but even the intensity, the thickness of the covering also determines the intensity of light that will come out of that. Similarly, according to Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, not only the quality of the lust is different, but also the thickness of the covering of the Atma, the degree, the extent of the forgetfulness of the Atma also changes. Everything in this material world is covered by the three modes. All living beings in this world are under the clutches of Sattva, Raja, Tama. So therefore all are like prisoners. There are some who are in Sattva Gun, who are like prisoners in a first class jail cell. There are some who are in Rajagun, who are like prisoners in a second class jail cell, and those in Tamagun who are in a third class jail cell. But ultimately, whether first, second or third, all are prisoners. So whether one is in Sattva, Raja or Tama or any, one is necessarily covered by lust. All are victims of lust. Their true nature being covered to different extents depending on the nature of their conditioning. In our parampara, there is a great acharya called Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He has explained that this kama or lust, it is of 3 degrees. One is called mridu, that is mild, where the covering of kama is mild. The second is called madhya, where the atma is covered by medium thickness of kama or covering that makes the atma forget itself. And the third is called tivra, intense, very deep. The atma is totally immersed in a covering of very thick forgetfulness. It is very thick. Now according to that, these 3 stages in this verse can be understood. So in this verse, Lord Krishna has described 3. The fire covered by the smoke, the mirror covered by the dust, and the embryo covered by the womb. So these 3 represent different stages of lust in increasing intensity. So the first is the fire covered by the smoke. Fire represents the Atma, and the smoke represents the lust that covers the Atma. Now you have seen, maybe you have lit a bonfire when you have gone for a picnic, or on holy day maybe sometimes you have lit fire. You have seen it is covered by smoke. Wherever there is fire, there has to be smoke. So the smoke will cover the fire. Sometimes you see that when the fire is not yet started, it is not yet ablaze, there is much smoke but very little fire. The fire will come, but it is only in the very beginning stages. So the smoke is intense, but still you can see the fire. So this represents mridu kama, where the covering of lust or kama is very thin. It represents a situation where the fire, although covered by smoke, is still usable. its heat and light are still available for others. Similarly, this represents a state of consciousness where lust covers the Atma, but the covering is thin. It is not thick. And therefore the consciousness is still able to understand some higher things in life. Therefore this represents the human species of life. So when Lord Krishna says here, Dhumena avriyate vahnihi, vahni means fire, avriyate means covered, dhuma means smoke. So the fire being covered by the smoke represents mridu kama, mild kama, where the kama is thin and therefore it represents the human species. In the human species, one is capable of understanding God, one is capable of making some spiritual inquiries, one is capable of having some Bhagavat smaran, some remembrance of God, because the covering is not so thick. In the next, Lord Krishna is explaining, Yatha adarshah malena cha. Adarshah means a mirror. Malena, mala means the dust. That represents madhya kama. Now, in the mirror that is covered by dust, because the dust is covering it, the mirror loses its characteristic of cleanliness. It loses its property to reflect an object that is placed in front of it and create an image of it. But nevertheless, still you can identify it as a mirror. You can see the mirror, although you can't see the reflection or the image. So therefore, it is called mild. It is moderate. That means madhya. In this situation, the jnana, the atma jnana of the atma is considerably covered. It is very difficult for the living beings in madhya kama to understand anything about themselves, their spiritual nature, or about God. So this represents birds and beasts. And the third is tivra kama. Tivra kama is when the kama is very intense. In madhya kama, the covering is thick. But here, it is even thicker in tivra kama. It is thickest. And here, the jiva is totally in forgetfulness, totally in ignorance. Its consciousness is practically totally covered. It is practically inert. Yatha ulbena avritaha garbhaha. Ulbena means womb and garbha means embryo. The child in the womb is helpless. It is not able to move. It is fixed in one position. You can't see the fetus. The fetus can't see you. It is completely covered from all sides. So similarly, jivas whose consciousness is totally covered by kaam, tivra kaam, they are absolutely in no position to understand anything. Practically they have no consciousness. They are alive, but only just. And therefore this represents the trees, creepers, and so on. All inert living entities. So these three stages of kama are explained by Lord Krishna over here. Now this is a very interesting example, because we can understand how the species of life around us have been created by Krishna and how the opportunity is given for the jiva gradually to progress. It is as if, as the jivatma progresses from lower to higher species in the natural course of spiritual evolution, it is as if from the bulb the layers are peeled off one by one, one by one, one by one. The 84 lakhs of species, they begin with the aquatics. Jalajana valakshani sthavara laksha vimshati krimayo rudra sankhyakaha. You start with the 9 lakh species of aquatics. Then you go on to the sthavara laksha vimshati. That means the non-moving living beings like the trees and plants. 20 lakhs of them. Aquatics, there are 9 lakhs. Krimayaha Rudra Sankhyakaha, 11 lakhs of insects and reptiles. Pakshinam Dashalakshanam, birds are about 10 lakhs. Pashavaha Trinsha Lakshani, so there are 30 lakhs of beasts, animals. Chatur Lakshani Manushaha, 4 lakhs of human species. So totally this makes 84 lakhs. So right from the aquatics, going up through the insects and reptiles, coming through the plants and trees, and then onwards to the birds and beasts and humans. It is a gradual process of evolution of the Atma. The Atma is moving in the circle of birth and death. In the human species of life, activities are performed, and if there is sinful activity, the Atma may fall down to lower species of life. And then from that point, again it has to work its way up. Automatically, by the laws of nature, automatically the jiva will get higher and higher species of life, the next birth. In this way, it finally comes again to the human form. In the human form, depending on the nature of karma, he may again fall down or remain in the human species, or he may go to the higher demigod species, or may get liberated from the cycle of birth and death altogether. The demigods, they represent the mode of goodness. The human beings, the mode of passion. The animals and birds, the mode of ignorance. So the covering is even finer for the demigods than for the human beings. So we can understand that as a spiritual evolution takes place, as the Atma moves from species to species, each body is designed to have a successively lower thickness of karma. And in the human species, it is the thinnest compared to all the lower species. Therefore, in this situation, it is possible for the Atma, for the living being, to understand God. Whereas in other species, it is practically impossible. It is not possible. The consciousness is totally covered over. So this is the importance of the spiritual, of the human form of life. Now, so we can see that the consciousness of the Atma in all the species of life is the same. The Atma remains the Atma. Like when you suppose all these 25 bulbs that are here are all covered differently by different colored paper, different thickness. The bulbs are all the same. Similarly, the Atmas are in different species of life, whether an ant or an insect or a bird or an animal, human being, demigod. But fundamentally, the Atmas are all of similar quality. That does not change. But depending on the kind of body that it acquires, the original consciousness of the Atma is restricted from manifesting or exhibiting itself. Just like this 40 watt bulb cannot manifest as 40 watts when you cover with so many other papers. But the more you remove, the more you will understand the nature of the bulb, the real nature of the bulb, how bright it is. So as the Atma progresses higher and higher and higher in the species of life, we can more and more understand the spiritual nature of the living being. Because the covering of kama becomes lesser and lesser. And in the human being, it is the perfect situation for trying for spiritual realization. Accordingly, there are different stages of consciousness to be reached. There are 5 stages of consciousness. The first stage that corresponds to Tivra Kama, that is the trees, the plants, the stones, the creepers and so on, that represents here the embryo covered by the womb. In that situation, what is the consciousness of the Atma? The Acharyas have given a very beautiful analogy. As if to compare the Atma in different species of life, the Acharyas have used the example of a flower. When a flower, it is totally covered, the bud is totally covered, it is one thing. Then the bud starts to slowly open. It becomes very shrunken. Then slowly it starts to open. And then slowly it starts to bloom. It blooms more and finally it becomes fully bloomed. This is the stage by which a flower expands and really becomes a flower from the bud stage. So in the first stage, it is called covered consciousness. This is like a bud that is totally covered. You can't see inside. It is called Achhadita Chetana. Like the trees, the consciousness is practically covering the freedom of movement, of expression, of thinking of the Jivatma. A tree doesn't have much capacity to think. It doesn't have much freedom to move. And then gradually in the next higher stage, it is like the shrunken stage. Sankuchita Chetana. In the Sankuchita Chetana stage, it is shrunken, it is just gradually improved. This represents a slightly higher stage like the birds and the beasts. Where the consciousness is not as covered as in the trees, but it is not fully free either. And then, it is just beginning to bloom. That is called the Mukulita Chetana. Mukulita, it is just beginning to bloom. That represents the human stage of life. When the God consciousness is just about to begin, the human being is making inquiries into spiritual matters. The human being has just started some spiritual practices. So having attained the human form of life, if one does not come to the stage of Mukulita Chetana, one does not start inquiring about God, that means one is in the lower two stages of consciousness, even though one is in the human body. That means one can be either Sankuchita Chetana or Achhadita Chetana. One is in a human body but as good as a beast or as good as a plant. Because even though one has acquired a human body, one is not cultivating God consciousness. And then gradually, as one continues spiritual practices, the consciousness starts blooming. And then finally, it becomes fully bloomed. Just like a flower that is a beautiful, fully bloomed flower in all its beauty. So that represents the consciousness that has fully awakened to pure love of God, pure bhakti, pure remembrance of the Lord 24 hours a day. That is when all the coverings have been removed from the bulb. And the 40-watt bulb now shines as a 40-watt bulb and you can see it as such. At that time, the pure consciousness of the soul shines forth in the actions and in the thoughts and the words and deeds of the living entity. So, the last three stages of consciousness, they represent human beings. The fully bloomed, the blooming, and just about to bloom. And the other two represent the birds and the beasts, and also the trees and the plants. So, we will now distribute this. You may kindly take a note of this. Can Mataji's side also, somebody may distribute. Keep this sheet carefully in your home. Here you will find different classifications of calm or different stages of consciousness or chetana. So, this, you are all following this chart? Yes, it is simple, easy to follow. The first column shows degree of calm or lust covers the Atma. Tivra calm, intense, very deep. What is the nature of covering of this calm? It is the thickest. What is the analogy from this verse of Gita that we are studying? Like the embryo covered by the womb. What form of life or species does it represent? Trees and creepers. So please follow the first line of this chart, row. We will discuss like that. And what is the stage of consciousness there called? Achhadita Chetana. Achhadita means covered. It is covered consciousness. What is the quality of that consciousness? It is almost inert. And what is the spiritual activity? Almost, it is actually impossible. Second is Madhyakam, where the covering is moderate. The nature of covering of calm is thick, it is like a mirror covered by dust. It represents the birds and beasts. It is called Sankuchita Chetana, shrunken consciousness. The quality of the consciousness is that it is not as covered as plants, but consciousness is not developed either. And here also spiritual activity is not possible. The third, mridu kama, mild. The nature of covering of kama is thin. The analogy from this verse of Gita is fire covered by the smoke, and the form of life it represents is human beings. It is called mukulit chetana, budding consciousness. What is the quality of that consciousness? It has the potential to develop consciousness just like a bud has a potential to bloom into a flower. The bud has not yet bloomed into a flower, but it has the potential to do so. Similarly, in the human form of life, we have the potential to revive our original dormant Krishna consciousness, our pure spiritual nature. At this stage, what is a spirit? Spiritual inquiry begins. The remembrance of God is possible. The number four, the covering of kama is very thin. Next, it is all only for human beings. It is called blooming consciousness, where the human being evolves further and further because the spiritual practices and inquiries deepen. Finally, when one becomes very advanced in spiritual life, that kama, the covering of kama, is almost totally destroyed. And that is called fully bloomed consciousness, prafullita chetana. And in this stage, one can understand that the person has fully realized God. And what is the spiritual activity in that stage? Constant remembrance of God. He has attained pure love of God. So we can understand that of these five stages of consciousness, three pertain to the human being. So how important is the human form of life? Because it is only in the human form of life that we have the potential to develop this consciousness into a higher stage of consciousness by practicing spiritual activity. The human being has been compared earlier to fire covered by smoke. So fire also represents the spiritual instincts of the living being. So a small fire means that in a particular human being, the spiritual fire is very small. He doesn't have much spiritual inclination. But by coming in the association of devotees, that fire is fanned and that fire starts blazing and one starts advancing in spiritual life. As the fire of spiritual practices increases, it blazes stronger and stronger, then the covering of kama becomes destroyed slowly, bit by bit. The fire of spiritual life destroys kama. And as one performs this continuously, one makes advancement in spiritual life, the kama is gradually destroyed and one attains pure love of God, fully bloomed consciousness. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishthiki. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, all the abhadra, all the kama in the heart, nashta prayeshu, it is almost destroyed. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavata sevaya means to serve the Supreme Lord. To serve the Supreme Lord in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita. And to serve the devotees of the Lord. Because the word Bhagavat also refers to the bhaktas. So when we serve the Lord, we serve the Lord's instructions, we serve the Lord's devotees. Then nityam, by regularly, daily doing this activity, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, all the kama in the heart is destroyed. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati. Then bhakti arises in the heart, pure love. Lust destroyed and love awakens. And this love is naishthiki, very firm, determined. Then one does not become victim of kama again or lust. Because pure love has overwhelmed the heart of such a spiritual practitioner. And what this is the process of fanning the spiritual flame. Therefore, it is very, very, very important for devotees or human beings who are desirous of moving from the third stage to the fifth stage to regularly come into the association of devotees. Because it is only in the association that increases to a flame, and in the flame becomes a blazing fire. Without regularly coming and hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, it is not possible for the spiritual evolution to take place. One must, of course, also make many spiritual practices in one's own home. Like one must chant on the Japamala. One must read these wonderful books in the house. One must perform some basic worship in the house to the extent possible. One must lead a very pure life by avoiding the elements of Rajagun and Tamagun, and so on. And by doing this, gradually the layers and layers of calm that are there will be destroyed. Otherwise, if we do not do this, we will become victims to the Rajagun and Tamagun of the outside world. We should never think that we can practice spiritual life without the association of devotees. It is impossible. The outside world is too strong. The Rajagun and Tamagun are so powerful outside in the modern times that they will pull us down into lower stages of consciousness. Therefore, the aspiring sadhakas must be very particular to come regularly and perform spiritual practices. As we have mentioned earlier, those human beings who haven't got a human form of life, but they still do not practice spiritual way of life, then even though they have two legs, two hands, they are called Dvipada Pashu, two-legged animals, because they are as good as beasts and birds and trees, because they don't have that higher stage of consciousness. So from this time, we will actually have more of this spiritual practice in the lecture. At the end of every lecture, starting from 8 o'clock, we will chant one mala, one round of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra on the beads. Those of you who have beads with you, you may kindly take it out and chant on them. We will chant aloud together. Those of you who do not have such beads, doesn't matter, you can chant anyway. And next time you can bring your beads and we will chant one mala together with great concentration, with great attention and devotion, a regular practice in every lecture from today onwards. It is a very powerful way of destroying all the desires for sense enjoyment in our heart. This is the Yuga Dharma, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And after we have finished chanting, then we will have question answers, then darshan, and then after that, prasadam. So, we should chant with feeling, we should chant aloud, and then we will see that the holy name becomes very powerful. The nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, all the calm in the heart will be destroyed. You will practically see it happening very quickly. So please do chant at least one mala in your house. For those of you who are not at all chanting, those of you who are chanting, two rounds, four rounds, six rounds, you increase. And those of you who are chanting 16, please maintain that 16 rounds at least. Never reduce below that 16, and try to improve the quality of the chanting. Try to hear attentively what you chant and try to chant with great feeling and devotion. And in this way we will see how quickly attraction for the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna awakens in the heart. So are there any questions?
Can we attain God? Otherwise, kaam, krodh, mad, loh, moh, all these things has to be removed. Only then we can see.
You see, kaam is referred to here in a very general sense. It refers to all forms of worldly enjoyment. It refers to the very spirit of enjoyment. Bhog vritti. That propensity, that mentality to enjoy, that itself is destroyed. Therefore, all the other byproducts of kaam, krodh, etc. are also destroyed. We have seen here, in today's shloka we discussed, that krodh is born out of kaam. When kaam is unfulfilled, there is krodh. Kaam esha krodh esha rajaguna samutbhavah. Kaam is born out of rajagun. Krodh is born out of tamagun. When kaam increases, the mode of passion increases, and that kaam is unfulfilled, then one falls down from rajagun to tamagun. And therefore there is krodh, there is anger. Then all the other things follow. So therefore, when we chant the holy name, automatically everything happens. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha dayaschaye. All the kama lobha ityadi adi, all of them are destroyed. Cheta etair anavidham sthitam sattve prasidati. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is explained, therefore the chitta cheta etair anavidham sthitam sattve, then it becomes situated in pure goodness. Not only kaam, but even lobha, everything gets destroyed. Simply by the practice of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, it is what is called the Ram Baan Upaya. That one solution, that one medicine for all the problems.
Has done lot of tapasya and attained the power and blessings. Later on, he was falling down like anything due to kaam maybe, but beti to do mad. He was having so much mad, and so he want to, everybody should chant Hranakashyap, Hranakashyap. So he is totally fallen down to the spiritual world. And how it is? These only are not kama only, but mad may be the one of the powerful falling down the people.
These are all transformations of kama. The root of all is the desire to enjoy it. Separately from Krishna. The moment that comes, all these other things will come. So mad or pride is also born out of the enjoying spirit. When one thinks that I am the enjoyer and I have the capacity to enjoy so much, one becomes proud. Mad is a kind of madness. Pride is a form of madness. So ultimately the root of all is this kaam. Kaam, we have defined it earlier as being any form of enjoyment in this world, any form, anything other than seva to Lord Krishna is kaam, in a very general way. Therefore, all the other evils that plague the human heart come from this fundamental point. So we will have darshan now, and after darshan, we will continue the question answers, and then we will have prasadam. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, we see from the scripture that Gajendra was an elephant, an animal having low level of consciousness, but he could still remember God, and finally he went to the kingdom of Godhead. How was that possible? I mean, was there a special mercy of God on him, and is that an essential part?
The question is about Gajendra. There is a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Gajendra, and now he remembered his previous life and he chanted the mantras in glorification of God, and thus he was delivered. First is that this did not happen on earth. The 84 lakh species of life are distributed throughout the universe. And it's not that there are elephants only on earth. Just like there are human beings on earth and human beings in the higher planets. The human beings in the higher planets are called demigods. So there are also animals in the higher planets. And they have a far more advanced stage of consciousness than the animals that we see here. They are in the mode of goodness. Relative to the demigods, they may be lower, but still they are very advanced. Secondly, Gajendra was a great devotee in his previous life. Therefore, he was able to remember by the grace of God those prayers that he was chanting in that previous life. Because he desperately surrendered to the Lord, in that situation of utter dependence on the Lord gave him memory of those prayers of the previous life. So this means that we should also constantly practice chanting the holy name of the Lord and various nice prayers, so that in times of difficulty, when we surrender to the Lord, these prayers will come to our mind. Otherwise, all the worldly things will come to our mind in times of difficulty instead of those things that should actually come, the holy name of God. The third point also is that devotional service is so nice that even in animal stage of life, if somebody is fortunate enough, one can actually participate in the devotional process. For example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made even the animals in the Jharikhanda forest dance in the Sankirtan. They also sang. Animals who participate in Sankirtan, they may just be sitting and hearing the holy name, but they will also participate. They are doing Shravanam. When they eat prasadam, they get the benefit of that. If a stray dog eats some prasadam, he has begun his devotional service. It is called Ajnata Sukriti. Unknowingly he has done. So therefore, the process of bhakti is so powerful that even the lower species of life, even the trees and the plants can be benefited. So when we chant Sankirtan, all these plants, the blades of grass in the neighborhood, they also get benefit. Such is the power of devotional service. But the point is that on their own, generally, as we see on earth, they do not have that level of consciousness in which to willingly and knowingly pursue the spiritual path. They may be unknowing beneficiaries of the process, but willingly and knowingly, they don't have that intelligence to be able to practice. That is the point. Alright? Any other question?
This list, there are human beings and birds and trees. What about demigods? Are they also troubled by lust and calm?
Yes, definitely. The question is, are human demigods also troubled by calm? All living beings in this world are troubled by calm. All living beings. The spirit of wanting to enjoy this world is pervading the whole universe. So many examples. Indra himself is the king of heaven. He likes to enjoy the proprietorship of the heavenly planets. And he doesn't want to let go of his feet. And anytime any rishi does tapasya, he gets afraid that by his tapasya he may get promoted to the position of Indra. And he may lose his position and all his enjoyment will be spoilt. So even in the higher planets, there is the prevalence of karma. Only those who are pure devotees of the Lord are totally free from karma. Alright? Any other question? Question is, there are 4 lakh species. What is the meaning of that? And is it possible in just one life to attain perfection just by chanting the holy name of God? It is certainly possible in this very life. Why in this very life? It is possible in 1 second. King Khatwang, he perfected his life in 1 second. He has fought for the demigods against the asuras for many, many, many years. And finally, when the battle was over, when the demigods emerged victorious, the demigods were very grateful to King Khatwang. And they asked him that, "My dear king, please tell us, what benediction do you want from us?" So King Khatwang asked for a very unusual benediction. He said, "I want some information from you. Please tell me, how long do I have left to live? And they said, you have only 1 second to live. Left. The normal man would have said some words of sorrow, or hi hi, or you slapped his forehead, or called for doctor, or done something. But King Khatwan immediately remembered God and perfected his life in that 1 second. Of course, he was able to do it because of his earlier devotional practices. So also in this life, certainly we can and we should try to attain perfection. And the 4 lakh species depends on the various levels of consciousness, not simply on the physical form, but on the level of consciousness of the human being. According to that, these species have been segregated. Is any other question?
Shambhavaji, I have one question. Suppose if a person gets elevated to higher planets like Gandhavara Loka or Japa Loka, is there a higher possibility of him getting back to Godhead than a person who is already on earth?
Generally, no. Because in the higher planets, there is too much of material enjoyment, too much facility available, and of such an intense nature, such a fine material enjoyment, of a refined, highly super material enjoyment available, that the biggest material enjoyment of this planet becomes insignificant in front of that. Even the music, the food, the clothing, every form of enjoyment, whatever enjoyment you can think of in this world, in this planet, the same kind of enjoyment in the higher planets is much more. So because of so much enjoyment, it is very difficult to think of God and become a pure devotee. On the other hand, in the hellish planets, there is so much suffering, very difficult to remember God. So we are in between. Little pleasure, little sorrow. Little pleasure, little sorrow. So the little balance is there, so we can remember God. Of course, time to time, when little happiness comes, then we forget God. When God gives a little slap, then suddenly we remember God and start chanting. But the earth planet, in the human form of life, is the best opportunity for realizing God. It is the midway, the junction.
Tapaloka, they do tapasya. So what kind of tapasya they do in Tapaloka?
In the higher planets like Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, they are a little different from the other higher planets like Swargloka and Bhuvarloka. In Swargloka, it is more physical enjoyment of good things in life, although it is much more subtle than here. But in those planets, they derive tremendous pleasure from austerities, meditation. For example, in Tapaloka, when they sit in meditation, they just experience such a higher pleasure which we cannot imagine, which is far greater than the pleasure of Swarga even. They don't care for that Swarga pleasure. But still, that is not pure bhakti, it is not devotion. They get some higher, subtler pleasures which are also material, but it still has to do with the mind and intellect, not necessarily with the Atma. There may be some in the higher planets who are pure devotees in Swarga or higher planets. Similarly, there may be even on Satyaloka pure devotees. So there may be pure devotees everywhere in the universe. But generally speaking, the earth planet is most suitable for the cultivation of devotional service, because both the material happiness and the material sorrow is in moderation here. And therefore, it is the most conducive for spiritual practice, for bhakti. Therefore, it is said that the devatas are standing in line to get birth here, especially in Bharatvarsha. I think in brackets it is also mentioned Belgaum, I am not sure. So India, in earth planet, India in particular is very special. Any other questions? Is the layer of thickness of calm the greatest in the lower species? Because that is the nature of the lower species. Lower, why are they low? Why are the higher species called high? Why are the lower species called low? Low in terms of what? In terms of consciousness. And why is their consciousness low? Because their original pure consciousness is covered by thick layer of calm. Yes, the body is like that. The Atma gets a suitable body that covers. It may happen that from human form of life, one need not go all the way down to the Jalajana Varakshani. One need not be born as an aquatic like a fish. One could be born as a tiger, or one could be born at a lower, any point, depending on one's karma, one can be born. And according to the particular body that one occupies, to that extent, the consciousness becomes covered. If one gets a tree body, then because the nature of a tree body is that the calm is very heavy, one gets that. For example, it is said that one of the karmas, karmic reactions, of exposing one's body in the public is that one gets the body of a tree. Because a tree doesn't have any clothes, so if one likes to do that, then nature says, then take the body of a tree. Because tree doesn't wear clothes. You want to be without clothes, so then take body of tree. You all know the story of Nalukuvar and Manigreev. They were in a similar situation when they came across Narad Muni. And they did not bother to cover themselves, so Narad Muni cursed them. You want to be like trees, so become a tree. But because Narad Muni cursed them, so he also gave some benediction. And okay, ultimately, Lord Krishna will deliver you. So whatever species one may have been in earlier, depending on the present species, one's consciousness is covered to that extent. Less or more. Any other? When we chant the holy name of God, what should we remember in our mind? Lord's lotus feet or His form, or what should we remember? As far as possible, we should try to engage our mind in hearing the holy name of the Lord rather than in remembering some form of the Lord. Our mental energy should go to hear carefully what we are chanting. That should be our emphasis. And once we go on, then naturally if some memory comes, that's a different thing. But our effort should be to hear attentively. So the mind must be trapped between the tongue and the ear, so to speak. Any other? This chart is clear with everyone? Very simple chart. Which stage do we want to aspire for? Which stage? Fourth? Fifth stage. We should aspire for the fifth stage. That is the perfection of our life. That should be our goal. So thank you very much.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe Jaya Gauranita Jaya Gauranita Gauranita Jaya Gauranita Jaya Jagannatha, Jagannatha, Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Haribol, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribol.